Hey, welcome to Optimize Your Body with Martin Silva, where we talk raw, uncut facts to truly help you optimize your body.
Hey guys and girls, I've got an awesome guest on the line today. My good friend out in the UK. I've known him for a few years, good friend of mine, and he runs Brotectors, which is the mental health awareness group. And yeah, so how you doing out there, huh? You good?
I'm very well, thank you, mate. Thanks for having me today.
Awesome, mate. Awesome. It's great to have you on again because I think you were on the 8th ever episode of Optimize Your Body, which was probably a while back now, well over a year ago. It's great to have you back on, huh?
Thank you, mate. It's great to be here. Thanks very much.
No worries. Yeah, if you could, I didn't mention his name, actually. His name is Aaron Correa. I don't think I mentioned his name. So, Aaron, if you could just give us a little introduction as to, you know, who you are and what Brotectors is, man. That'd be great.
Yeah, so my name is obviously Aaron Correa. I run a group called Brotectors, which helps men and women sort of seek help when struggling with their mental health. I deal with a lot of emails from people all over the world. I do a lot of stuff for media, do events. So it's mainly about just encouraging people to seek help when struggling from a GP or from a friend, really.
Great. And where would you say Brotectors is now in comparison to, Aaron, in comparison to where you were? I think we spoke in October 2017, so that's like I said, well over a year ago. And you started it over 2 years ago now, right? Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, and where would you say it is now, Brotectors? Are you managing to reach more people and getting more? Because I notice you're doing a lot of media stuff now as well.
Yeah, I'm doing a lot more media stuff, do stuff for radio, a lot of stuff for Wales Online. It's just getting the message out there, really. We had a really, really big event for World Mental Health Day with our good friend Dan Shooter, which was broadcast to the whole of Wales. So we're hoping to do the same event next year. It was a constant walk of Penny Van for 24 hours, and carrying a log up and down. It was when by myself and the MPCT, so that gave us really good coverage, and that was combining sort of mental health with fitness. So it's got really good links, and it reaches more people because people see mental health as somebody who's suicidal or self-harming, but it's not. It's everything that you come across in life. Every day you people feel sad or people get some bad news. It's how you cope with those sorts of traumas, you know.
Absolutely. And speaking of exercise, you know, exercise has obviously been proven to be one of the most effective habits, right, when it comes to, you know, not only treating depression but actually curing it, right? So the studies show there's been almost 30 years of studies now to show, you know, exercise, even if you walk in, the minimum amount, walking for 20 to 30 minutes a day, has been proven to to treat depression and stuff like that. Obviously All the happy chemicals you release when you're doing it, and I just wanted to ask you the kind of impact, because actually I can remember now when I was actually visiting at the time when you'd done that event, right? Yeah. And that was pretty hardcore though, wasn't it? I remember, because Penny Van, just explain to the listeners exactly what it was, because I remember you went up and down like seven times, wasn't it, or something?
Yeah. I think I was about 19 and a half stone at the time. And that was hard going. I'm not sure how high Penny Van is, but it's the highest mountain in Wales, I believe. Obviously it's very, very steep. So some of the army lads were sort of smashing it, you know. And but that was really a tough challenge, especially through the night. It gets really, really cold at the top, you know. And it was hard to keep sort of motivated, but you've got to think of the cause you're doing it for, and sort of inspiring others who need to seek help. So if they can see someone like me going up and down, you know, as many times or whatever, it'll sort of inspire them to get help, or to maybe talk about to a friend or to a family member.
Absolutely. It's quite a daunting thing, right, Aaron? Because, you know, I think, well, it is, mental health illness is the leading cause of disability now in young adults worldwide.
Yeah.
And in Australia, it affects, you know, one in every five people. And that's, you know, each year on average, it'll affect one in every five people. And as many as one in two people in the space of their lifetime will get affected by some sort of mental illness. And I think it's about one in four people in the UK. So, you know, right now we're kind of facing an epidemic. It's mental health illnesses at a really high rate now. And I know you actually dealt with a lot of problems yourself, which kind of inspired you to start up Protectors. How would you describe, you know, your state of mental health now? In fact, we did talk about on the last episode, but if you could just run through the listeners exactly your experience and what you experienced with depression and how you managed to come out the other side.
Yeah, I think for me, when I was dealing with depression, it was almost like I'd given up. I couldn't get up in the mornings. I couldn't sleep at night. It was almost sort of despair. And it comes to a point where I was just mentally exhausted, and I think that low point where, you know, I was contemplating suicide, I got support from my dad and from my friends. But I think if I had a sort of at the time just embraced getting help, because I thought I was just going through, you know, I'm having a funny 5 minutes, or I just thought, you know, maybe you need to man up and get a grip, or, you know, you're just tired or you're working too much. But I actually needed help, and when I got to that point where I was just exhausted of trying to put that mask on or pretending to my friends I was fine, it's got too much for me, really. And lucky enough, I had the right support network around me to give me that right support. So I was very, very fortunate, where some lads aren't, you know, and it can be devastating, you know, and the suicide rate, especially in Wales, is so, so high, and it shouldn't be happening, really, you know.
Absolutely. And it's great that there's movements like Protectors who are actually really reaching people and getting a message across, you know, that it's time to end the stigma, you know, speak up about it. I think, you know, one of your mottos is "We got this," right? Which is like, you know, the bottom line is we're all in this together. I just mentioned how common it was. I mentioned to the listeners several times that I had my own issues in my early 20s. I went through, you know, a solid year or so of, you know, depression and anxiety. But I guess what I'm leading to here now is, where would you say your mind is at now in comparison to where you, when you sat down in the coffee shop that time? I remember you telling me, and you come up with the idea. Obviously, you're probably at a really low point then when you started it up. Yeah. Where would you say you are now in terms of how you feel mentally?
I'm a lot more better. I think for me, when I was feeling low, I remember I would go out and just get drunk all weekend, get in that cycle, do the whole Monday to Friday, feeling like absolute rubbish, and then sort of drown my sorrows by drinking. So I think obviously getting help from a life coach, speaking with friends, sort of researching and mental health, I've sort of developed my coping mechanism. So for me, the gym is a massive, massive sort of outlet where I can sort of vent my frustrations. Even just going to the gym and just talking to people, being around sort of like-minded people who want to train, just listen to the music, it sets you in that good mindset. I do a lot more reading, and I also listen to a lot more podcasts. So I think it's all about, I couldn't give an answer for each person, but I think it's understanding how you feel as a person, you know? Like, I would like to go on walks, someone else may listen to music, or someone else may just go to a coffee shop. It's different for everyone, but it's knowing your sort of coping mechanisms, what suits, you know, you as an individual.
Absolutely. And how important do you think that is, Aaron? Because I know, obviously, for example, Aaron and I are good friends. We lived together that time for about 9 months. One day, I won't go too much into that, you know what I mean? But it was good times, though. Nice and quiet. Quiet affair that was, wasn't it?
Friday night.
good times. But, you know, you didn't actually give anything away. When I was living with you, I had no idea. You know, you completely, as you said, at that point, you were too wary about talking out about it. You know, a lot of people think that it's a weakness, you know, having these issues. But it's no different to, I remember you saying before, it's no different to, you know, if you were to break your arm or have a problem physically with your body, you go to the doctors. You know, this is a silent killer, right? So how important do you think it is, Aaron, having that people around you? Because, you know, we are the average, you know, the average of five people, the five people we spend most of our time with, that is who we become on average, right? So it's very important who you surround yourself with, right, Aaron?
Yeah, very important. You know, like I said earlier, I was so, so lucky to have great friends and great family. But, you know, you see these guys at weekends just sort of living the, you know, the champagne lifestyle and stuff. And, you know, it does catch up with you. I see a lot, I see so many people get into debt, trying to get out and be a baller, or I don't really talk about drugs a lot, but that's a massive impact on people's mental health. Also, you know, I think Instagram can have a massive effect on people's mental health. But I keep myself to myself. I've got two or three close friends. I do what I love, and I love what I do, you know. So I think you just got to be open and honest. If you're sort of struggling and you seek help from a friend, and their answer is, oh, come on, we've got on a few drinks together and get smashed, then I don't think that'd be, you know, the greatest of ideas. I think how sort of, you know, offload to your friends and how they respond to you is it tells you everything about that person, you know.
Definitely.
Be very selective your time with, you know.
100%, 100%. And like I'm although on the other side of the wall in Australia now, you know, I'm thankful I've got guys like you, and our circle of friends, you know, is tight, and it's so important to have that network, as you said, right? So
Yeah,
it's everything, really. And what was I going to say then? I was going to say something along those lines. That's what I was going to say. In terms of protectors, right, do you think that has given you, purpose is very important. Having a meaningful life with purpose is been proven to be really, really important, right? So a lot of people nowadays, guys especially, I think, have kind of lost their purpose, lost their way in the world a little bit, and they kind of don't know where they're going, in a sense. And as you say, they get sucked into social media, which is fake. You know, you're looking at other people's lives, which look perfect all the time because all the images are modified, and you know, it's just a make believe world, right? So, So how do you find that in terms of where you're at now? You know, how do you find that? Because like obviously, it's given you more purpose in life now. Protectors is what I'm trying to say. So, do you think that's helped you a lot mentally, the Protectors movement?
Massively. I think it's so easy to get caught in the rat race of life. You know, you see guys punching their hours out, you know, in work constantly. I mean, when I get up in the mornings now, it's like you said, I've got a purpose. I want to help people. I just think it's not even having a purpose, it's having a passion. That I think if you can find out what your passion is in life, and then just feed off it, you know, embrace it, love it, you know, and get up in the mornings, you know, answer my emails, and, you know, if I'm helping people, get them great emails. I mean, that for me is the most rewarding thing, is if I get somebody say, oh, you've helped me, or I heard you on the radio and you've inspired me to get help. That is the best thing that I've ever had in my life. And then to get all the nice holidays, the nice clothes, and you know, the nice cars, having those emails where you've made a difference, that is the meaning of life, if I'm being completely honest with you.
Absolutely, yeah. And the experiences as well, isn't it? As you said, doesn't matter what you accumulate and achieve, really. You know, it's fulfillment, I guess, isn't it? That's what everyone's heading towards. And I just wanted to mention I always talk about the three G's, which you've already mentioned, right? So growing is really important, right? Learning. You mentioned podcasts and reading books. Giving, which is something which you're spending most of your time doing now, right, with Protectors. And also gratitude. Do you ever spend any time, or is there any rituals you have, Aaron, like gratitude briefly or anything like that?
I was speaking this last night to my girlfriend, and she was saying, you know, how hard, you know, I've been working and stuff, but I love it. You know, I get up in the morning just thankful for being alive. And I've seen the flip side of my life where I was just living for the weekend, didn't want to get up, didn't want to speak to anyone, sort of hid myself away. And now I'm just so happy to be here, and so happy that I'm fortunate enough to live the life that I'm living, to be able to help people. I've got a good platform to sort of, you know, help people on, you know, on social media, or, you know, through the media, or doing events. I'm just so grateful for my life as it is now, you know.
Absolutely. And as you said, once you've experienced what you experience as well, that's gratitude within itself, isn't it? Just like you said, waking up in the morning and having your health in check, right? Like those simple things we take for granted, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, get up and you go. I'm sure, like you over your side of the pond, mate, in Australia. I mean, you get up on those beaches and you think, this is life, you know what I mean? Not being stuck in a nightclub or whatever. Just going on for a long, long walk. Just give you time to reflect on your thoughts.
Absolutely.
That is living.
Definitely, mate. And let's just talk a little bit more about like exercise and nutrition a little bit, because I noticed in the new year you were on a bit of a mission, weren't you? Getting yourself in tip top shape and getting back on your fitness campaign. How would you say you felt? Because obviously you must have had to, you know, because there's a huge link, Aaron, between, you might have heard, between the gut and the brain. So the gut actually, they find the gut actually produces like over 20 different hormones. I think like 90% of the serotonin in the body is producing the gut. So obviously what we eat does play a big part in our mental health. How have you found it since you've been eating healthier and training more?
Yeah.
Is there a difference in how you feel?
Oh, mate, I mean, over Christmas, as you know, I like to eat. I was consuming silly calories, you know. Like, so I think after Christmas, I came in at literally about 20 stone four, and I just felt so like lethargic. Like I go to the gym, Matt, but I just didn't want to. I didn't have the strength or the energy. Didn't have the sort of, you know, the enthusiasm. So
yeah, of course,
I've started the fasting thing now. So obviously I'm fasting, doing the 12 till 6 fast.
Yeah.
And I feel so much better. I'm drinking a lot more water. I've got a lot more energy. I'm waking up a lot more earlier. And I just think my overall mood is completely different.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great to eat the nice foods. Don't get me wrong. You know,
yeah, of course.
The Chinese is, but I was eating three of them a day, you know. So.
Yeah, exactly. You're overdoing it.
So, yeah, I'm on the. Yeah. Exactly, mate. Yeah, I was overindulging over Christmas because it's an excuse. I think people use Christmas as an excuse.
Yeah.
I think my Christmas started in November. So, so, I mean, I think I'm nearly about 2 stone now. So
nice.
I just feel a lot more fit.
Exactly, yeah. And just for the listeners, in kilos, that's like, you know, that's like 14 kilos. That's a lot of weight. So you've dropped that within the space of like, you know, what, 6-7 weeks or whatever. That's good going. And you mentioned fasting. So you normally go from like 12 till 6 in the day. You'll normally go without food, yeah?
Yeah, so I'll have my first meal at around 12:15, then have my I'll probably have a little snack in between that, like maybe a protein bar or like a fruit salad, and then I'll have my last meal about 6:15, and then that's me done. You know, and I've cut bread and I've cut sugars.
Nice.
So you know, it's I have my one day a week off, which was last night for Valentine's night. Mm. Sort of overindulged there, but I think it's all about moderation, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
You've got to enjoy yourself as well.
Definitely, you've got to enjoy yourself. You've got to have, you know, you go out and socialize, eat, you know, not ideal foods every now and then. Let's face it, it always tastes good. It's always like socially cleansing, you know what I mean? It's a part of life, isn't it? But talking about that, you mentioned you cut out like bread and sugar, and actually, like studies are showing now with a Mediterranean diet, people who eat generally, like, you know, healthy sources of meat and fish, you know, fruit and vegetables and like whole grain foods. They have, like, the studies done in Australia, they have like a 35% less chance of getting depression and like a 32% less chance of anxiety. And on the flip side, mate, people who eat foods which are like processed, you know, like soft drinks and fried foods, there's about 50% higher chance of them getting depression. So there is a huge link there. So it's very. So you're basically doing intermittent fasting then, Aaron, by the sounds of it, yeah? So you're eating within like a 6 to 8 hour window.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. For 6 days, and then the one day that's normally a Sunday, or for example, last night with Valentine's Day, I gave myself a day off. So just give myself a little perk, you know?
Absolutely. Do you have anything, any tips for like any guys out there now? I'm just trying to put myself into the boots of some people listening. The chances are them or someone they know will be experiencing, you know, depression, anxiety, or some form of mental illness. Do you have any like, what would be like your top tips, if you like, or what you would say to someone? Would you say the number one thing is to reach out, or, you know, what would you say to people, Aaron, or like any guys or women listening to this?
Yeah, I'd say the first thing before anything else would just be brutally honest with yourself. Maybe take some time to reflect on your feelings, because I think a lot of people just sort of brush under the carpet and thought it'll go away. Mm. But I think what the changing thing for me was that I thought I need to be honest with myself now. You know, stop, cut the rubbish, cut the bull crap. What do I need? I needed help.
Yep.
And I think once you sort of realize that, and that penny drops, that is the next step of seeking help, you know. But the first things first is be brutally honest with yourself, because no one else can answer for you. You know, it all falls on you, you know.
Absolutely.
And once you sort of broach that and you're sort of honest with yourself, then you could sort of start the healing process, you know?
Mm. Yeah, and antidepressants, we talked about this last time briefly, because I know you had a little stint where you were taking, on and off, you were taking a certain type, I can't remember what it was called now, and then you tried Prozac. And, you know, it's been proven as well with antidepressants. I think, like, something, don't quote me on this, but something like 75% of people who take them, after about a year, these things actually stop taking effect anyway. And I know you had, what was your, if you can just explain to the listeners how you managed to come off them, because I know you had a pretty bad episode with the Prozac, didn't you?
Yeah, the Prozac. I mean, I can't speak for everyone who takes Prozac. I'm just going on what I felt. The Prozac, I just felt like zombified. I know it does take a while to kick into your system. I think it takes around 2 weeks, but I was literally just so sort of solemn-faced, couldn't sleep. I felt no emotions. I just felt exhausted. I just couldn't be bothered sort of getting, you know, excited or feeling sad. Just flat. And for me, that was a no-no, you know. And then also I've tried sertraline, citalopram, which does work. But, you know, I want to be at a place in my life where I don't need to use chemicals to make me feel better. I understand people do need them.
Absolutely, yeah.
Some people can go through really, really bad bouts of depression where there's flow. But for me, knowing what I know now, I've dealt with this for nearly 7 years now. And they'll never leave me, and I know that. And maybe one day I will have to go back onto them. I'm not saying I won't, but I think for me it was all about having ownership of my illness and basically owning my coping mechanisms and understanding myself. Mm. And I'm not saying don't use them. If, you know, go to your GP and they know a lot better than what I know. I can only speak for myself. But I'm happy now. I'm a happy place where I'm at now. And I'm sort of meds free, as they say, you know.
Mm. And how long have you been med free for then now, Aaron, altogether?
I've been med free for about a year now. I mean, there has been times where I've had to consider going back onto them. But I just think going back and forth to the GP and expressing how you're feeling, I think it's just being honest with yourself. I'm not going to say that. I'm never going to go back onto them.
Yep.
Because you don't know. They sort of aided me a lot when I first sort of had depression. But I wanted to be in a place where I didn't need to take tablets every day. And there are studies where certain medications do affect your testosterone levels. They can affect your sex drive. And I think for me, I wanted to sort of keep myself as clean, as healthy as possible, you know?
Mm, absolutely. Yeah, and I just wanted to say as well to any of the listeners, obviously, in certain cases, you know, and a lot of the time, actually, antidepressants are necessary. So I just wanted to take back, you know, not to take back, but obviously, I was saying that they don't work after a year for most people. That's what the stats are saying. But as you say, they do have a place, and for some people, they are necessary. So, yeah, so what do you... I was going to say, what do you have for Brotectors? What do you think's in the pipeline for Brotectors, Aaron? Say for this year, have you got anything? Any more media events and anything going on this year, at Brotectors?
Yeah, we've got the Into the Light event, which is going to be. We started planning it. Well, basically this month we'll start planning it for October. I think the aim for this year is to just sort of get the name sort of all over the world and the UK. I think in Wales it's quite popular. I think people are aware of it in Wales. But if we could do this event along with MPCT, I'd like it to be, you know, a sort of nationwide thing. And the aim is to get onto the UK news. We did obviously BBC Wales, but I'd like it to go mainstream all over the UK. That would be the goal this year anyway.
Amazing, mate. Amazing. And where do you see Brotectors 5 years from now, Aaron? Tough question, but...
I'd like to be in a place where... I think mental health in schools, they're certainly sort of playing with the idea. They've changed the funding now. But I would like to sort of have my own team of people who would have to go into schools and deliver sort of workshops on mental health. I do think it should be part of the curriculum. I think it's such a necessity that we educate young people. because, you know, it starts at a young age now. You know yourself, Martin, you know, Instagram and the pressure on young children to look a certain way, to wear certain clothes, to sort of perfect body. It's a lot of stress. And then you chuck in your exams, you chuck in money, you chuck in sort of your cultural backgrounds, you know. It's a tough, tough world for these youngsters, you know. And it's I mean, I was lucky, and so were you. When we were in school, there was no Instagram.
Absolutely.
I think I just started, I think it was Face Party when I was about 15. But, we sort of missed the selfies. And I see girls, you know, young lads in coffee shops taking selfies, you know, wearing these 400-pound trainers. And I'm thinking, why aren't you playing spot on, or why aren't you in a field
spot
playing
on
football?
I remember that, mate. Spot on.
I think people sort of, young children, I think they're sort of skipping their childhood and just want to become adults. But yeah, I think it's all about education. I think mental health now should be part of the curriculum throughout the world, never mind the UK.
I'm glad you mentioned that, mate, because I listened to this book called iGen. So obviously the new generation of kids. So the iGen are like anyone born after the internet was essentially created in like 1993, right? So the youngsters you're talking about, you know, they have come up on social media, right? And it is absolutely crazy, mate, the stats of suicide, depression, anxiety in young kids and teenagers now has just absolutely blown up. I think it's increased from like 2011 to 2015. I think it increased by like 64%, depression and anxiety in young kids and teenagers. Yeah. And, you know, like it's a, like you said, it's a completely different generation now. They're not going out and sort of socializing as much now. And even, I mean, this is not such a bad thing. They're not even like me and you, Aaron, for example. I started drinking alcohol when I was like 13, 14. I don't know about you, but.
yeah.
But
it's all a learning curve, isn't it? You know, it's all a learning curve.
That's right. It's all a learning curve. But yeah, no, that's great that you're tapping into that, mate, because I think, you know, the way I look at it is like social media is just a huge experiment, Aaron. You know, it's like I heard recently it's like the processed food, right, of the new generation. You know, like processed foods first came on the scene like 30, 40 years ago, and we all thought it was okay. Yeah. We all thought, oh, it's fine, all these cereals and whatnot. Now we're facing an obesity epidemic, right? So it's swung back round. And now, you know, we're paying the price. And I think it's the same thing with social media. I think it's a big experiment. And I think, you know, at some point there will be a price to pay, because, you know, you're messing around with your brain chemistry, you know, on a daily basis when you're scrolling through Instagram and whatnot, especially young kids. So I think that's great that you're gonna, you know, help out with the schools and stuff. I think that's an awesome movement, mate.
Thank you, mate.
All good. Yeah, so... Yeah, I've got a couple more questions for you. I think we'll go back to the health side of it. Let's just talk quickly about sleep, Aaron. Do you have a sweet spot at all for the amount of hours you sleep and getting good quality sleep? You know, do you come off your phone before bed? I know that's quite hard for you because you're so busy, but yeah, anything you focus on with sleep?
Yeah. With the sleep thing, Matt, I try and be up by 6 o'clock every morning. My body tends to wake up at 5 o'clock anyway, but I'm the only thing I wouldn't say I've set hours when I go to bed. I like to sort of I'll probably watch a little bit of TV before bed, but I think once I'm awake, I just get up. I don't want to be laying in bed. I don't want to be sort of lounging around, because I think once you're up, you get up, shower, you come and have a cup of coffee, and you relax. You sort of, you know, prepare for your day. I'm not one for sort of laying in bed to the last second. And then rushing to work or rushing to a meeting. I like to prepare myself, prepare my body, drink some water, have a coffee, and then just sort of walk into the day instead of run into the day, you know? Just to sort of prepare myself. Because I think a lot of people sort of have to work at 9 a.m., set their alarm for 8:30, and you're rushing straight away. You're in your car, you're rushing. Your mind's not ready, your mind's not prepared. It's all about just sort of planning your day, taking your time. And I think that's what people can get depressed. They're rushing their lives. They're not getting the right sleep. They're skipping meals. You know, it's all about getting out of that rat race and just sort of just prepping your day, you know?
Definitely, mate. I can agree with that, because, you know, people who get up in the mornings, and just going back to social media, get up in the morning, obviously we snooze the alarm, which is something actually, I start work at like 5 a.m. most days, right? So my alarm goes off at like 10 past 4, and I've always been the worst for snoozing, but now I just get up, you know, because the way I look at it is like, you know, you're putting that snooze on for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it is, you know, you're putting your day on hold. You're kind of putting your dreams on hold, in a sense. I know it sounds cheesy, but... you know, you're just trying to delay things. But yeah, another thing is, you know, like I said, people going on social media, first thing they do, get up in the morning, scrolling through social media. As you say, they're already in that stress state then, because they're looking at the screen, and then they're rushing out, and, you know, they got cortisol, you know, through the roof, the stress hormone. They must be, you know, that can't help. So that's a good, I think that's a good tip. Yeah. And I always say to the listeners, you know, with sleep, it's very important to focus on that quality of sleep. You know what I mean? Like, ideally, coming off your phone and electrics, you know, like within an hour before bed, and just preparing yourself for a good sleep. But yeah, so you say about 6 hours you average a night, Aaron, then, yeah?
I'd say between 6 and 8. I tend to get to bed quite early, but I'm not one of these people who'll be like, oh, I've got to get sleep now because I need my 6 hours. I think I've got in a state now where my body knows just to wake up first thing. I'll wake up, might as well wake up, and I'll just get up. Even though I may be tired, why would you want to lay in bed? You know, you're lucky to be alive. If you want to lay in bed, then, you know, you can lay in bed when you're dead.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
what I think anyway, you know. So it's all about just being thankful and smashing the day.
Definitely, mate. Sleep when you're dead. I like that. Yeah, okay. One or two more questions, Aaron. You've covered a lot of stuff here, mate, so appreciate that. Do you have any books or any... Go on, mate. Any books or any sources at all which you would recommend to the listeners, you know, in regards to mental health, like anything at all that you could recommend people go so they can go and get some advice? I know you've got your website and stuff, but yeah, anything you can recommend, mate.
Yes. I tell you what, mate, I've said this a few times to people, and people ask me about books, and a lot of people love the concept of books and read them, but they don't actually do it. So I always sort of mention there's a thing on Facebook, it's a social media page called Goalcast, which is GOALCAST. And it's just like motivational quotes and videos from people who've struggled, famous people all over the world. And that was a really go-to place when I was struggling, and sort of even before going to a gym, just to get a bit of confidence or a bit of sort of motivation. Or it was fantastic. It's a fantastic page on Facebook. People should check it out, because it's got some really, really interesting, good stories on people like Michael Jordan, Robin Williams, J.K. Rowling. And it just gives you some really good tips and sort of inspiration to get off your ass and smash your dreams, you know?
Yeah, Goalcast. I'll remember that one. Thanks for that, mate. Yeah, and that's another good thing. You know, a lot of high-profile people are coming out and talking about it now, which is great, man. So I think, you know, ending the stigma is key. And there's one thing I forgot to ask you, actually, because I know you mentioned before you had a life coach. Now, I'm a big believer in, like, although I haven't had it, I had it a little bit myself. Actually, I had a therapist, but I'd done the cognitive behavioral therapy, the CBT, when I had my mental issues. But it seems like, you know, to talk about things to someone is, as we've said, is really important. So what's your thoughts on like a life coach or a psychotherapist, those kind of things? I mean, do you rate those kind of things for people?
Yeah. Well, definitely, Martin. Obviously, you're a PT, you're sort of an expert in your field, then I would obviously go for either life coach. I was lucky enough, my best friend, you know, obviously Luke, He paid me to go see this therapist, this life coach, and I thought, oh, it would be a load of rubbish, you know, somebody just trying to rip you off. So he made me go, he paid for it and forced me to go, and it was the best thing that's probably ever happened to me. He sort of changed my life, really. Such an inspiring and an awesome guy. I've been to see different doctors, Martin. I've had anger management. I've had hypnotherapy. And nothing came even close to seeing this guy. His name's Jermaine Harris. He was absolutely awesome. Pulled me out of me. Made me believe I was good enough. I could achieve anything I wanted to do. And without him, Protectors wouldn't have been born. So I have a lot to owe to him. And anyone who's thinking about doing it, do it 100%.
Awesome, awesome. Goes to show how powerful that is, yeah. And yeah, you cleared that one up, mate. I think, just as you say, talking about it and having someone who's an expert within their field, right, just to teach you that actually, you know, bottom line is there is a way out of it, right? So where there's a will, there's a way. I guess that's it, Aaron. Where can the listeners find you, my man? Where's the best places to find you? Instagram, website. I'll add it to the show notes anyway, mate, but...
The best place to find me would be on www.protectors.co.uk, Instagram at Protectors, Twitter at Protectors, and I think that's it. I think we've got a Facebook page yet, Facebook Protectors. So anyone sort of struggling or want some advice, or just check the site out, and I'd be happy to help.
Awesome, Aaron. Thanks a lot for your time, mate. That's a wrap, mate. Thanks for chiming in, buddy.
Amazing. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for all the questions, mate. That was awesome.
Absolute pleasure, mate. See you soon, mate.